We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Hold on to your hats, everybody. It's draft week, and it looks like we are getting some little bit of news here. Top of the draft, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff hanging out with you this morning across the country on the Infinity Sports Network. So, Jaden Daniels, this was something that first came to everyone's attention last week, Perloff, which was the Washington Commanders doing something kind of unusual, maybe to this scale, which was bringing in a ton of draft prospects all at the same time. And what got the most headlines was they brought in four different quarterbacks all at the same time. So it was Michael Penix, it was Jaden Daniels, it was J.J. McCarthy, and it was Drake May. And the idea is, you know, I don't actually know if it was on purpose, if it was just for scheduling, but they did like a whole event at Topgolf, and then they were, you know, doing meetings with all of these prospective draftees. So Jaden Daniels was clearly not happy about it, and his agent was the one who showed some frustration on social media, liking a few tweets that kind of questioned the maneuver of not giving Jaden Daniels, like, full attention. You know, why muck this up with the other draft picks when if you've zeroed in on Jaden Daniels, why wouldn't you, you know, be wanting to spend as much time as possible? Why wouldn't you really want to set him apart from everyone else?
Sure.
And Jaden Daniels was not happy about it. Here's Adam Schefter. Pete, can we play cut one, please? Here's Adam Schefter talking about Jaden Daniels not thrilled with what the Commanders were doing.
Well, it didn't seem to go over too well with the agent for Jaden Daniels, Ron Butler, who sounded off on social media last night that he didn't seem particularly pleased with the process. I think Jaden Daniels thought it would be a visit with just him, meeting with the Commanders. Many people think that Jaden Daniels will wind up being the number two overall pick, but the Commanders essentially opened up the process.
Okay, so the Commanders, with this unique moment here, may have turned off Jaden Daniels. Now, add to that Jeremy Fowler from ESPN, who was reporting that Daniels, or someone close to Daniels, believes that he has openly wondered about his options, that would he be better off playing for a different team, and the Raiders were a team that got mentioned.
Right, because he played under Antonio Pierce at Arizona State, not under directly, but he was on the staff at Arizona State when Jaden Daniels was there. So I kind of, you know, here's the issue. You have the Washington Commanders. Are they still the same franchise that was incompetent under Daniel Snyder? And I think that I could understand if Jaden Daniels was stepping back and saying, gee, I wonder, is the sort of stink of the last 20 years of Washington still there? Is this the place for me? I kind of respect quarterbacks who look at the situation and say, you know, is going number two overall is great, but am I going to a place that is going to set me up to win? And I just don't know if that's the case for Washington. It would be smart if Jaden Daniels pushed himself to a place where he was best set up to win.
Yeah, because we think you're not going Raiders number... are that opportunity. See, to me, this is a major red flag here for Jaden Daniels. I think he looks awful here.
Oh, come on.
This is bad because here's the thing. So you're telling me that you are all in your feelings and you're that hurt because the team had the audacity to bring in other quarterbacks? Hey, earth to Jaden Daniels. I know he knows this. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. There's going to be some competition. You know, whether it's within your own team or whether it's with the NFL at large, like, you are going to have to deal with some kind of adversity, competition, the red carpet not getting rolled out for you. And I think he knows this. This makes him look really bad to me. Like, you got a curveball thrown your way in the draft process, and you got so hurt by it that now your agent is out here doing the putting out there publicly in the sort of passive aggressive way. This is terrible for
him. Well, who knows if he's hurt? He's probably wondering, is this team know what they're doing? And he's good enough where, in my opinion, like, he's an all, you know, one of the greatest college football seasons we've ever seen that I think he'd be wise to say, is this franchise know what? I don't think it is hurt. I think it's more like, wait, am I going to win here? Do they have any idea what's going on here? And listen, there's a lot of reasons to think the Commanders do not.
Listen, I get that, but I would give this Commanders regime a little bit more benefit of the doubt. And if I'm really thinking, gosh, I need to maneuver and get myself someplace where I really have a chance of winning. And again, the Raiders are the best thing I'd come up with.
What if I gave you, but first of all, he's never said I want to go to the Raiders.
This is close to him. That's true.
What if he got to the Vikings? I mean, that would be amazing for him. That would be so much better than Washington.
Okay, but I don't know if Jaden Daniels, if you really want to get in the muck like that, you know, to try to determine where you want to go. This is the thing. Like,
why shouldn't he be passive, you know, just sit there and let a team that he doesn't want to go to pick him? Would you advise him if you were his agent to say, hey, let's get out here and muck this up, but we don't want to go to Washington?
Okay, well, then you better start mucking for real. Because
it sounds like he is.
Because here's the, but he didn't come out yet and say that I'm not going to play for this team.
He can't do that. You're already killing him for these secondhand reports. Imagine if he came out and said, I don't want to play. You can't come out and say, I don't want to play for Washington.
No, I'm killing him because the perception is that he thought that it was going to go a certain way, that the Commanders were going to roll out the red carpet for him, and that he was going to basically take the keys to the kingdom. And when they threw a small curveball at him, like having the other draftees in the building, it feels like he couldn't handle it, or he certainly took it personally. And to me, that's revealing, you know? And so that's why I'm killing him. But as far as, like, you know, him trying to pull an Eli Manning, let's not forget. I know this was 20 years ago, so, you know, we often do forget. That was as awkward a situation as could possibly be. And that was before
5 minutes
social
of the draft. But still, it was, I mean, well worth 5 minutes of awkwardness for two Super Bowls. Like, Eli and his team would do that 100 times out of 100.
No doubt.
So if that's your model, then Jaden should hope, give me awkward.
Okay, but
get me out of this team.
There was another thing about Eli where I feel like if his father wasn't Arch Manning and if his brother wasn't Peyton Manning, it would have been a lot harder of a maneuver. That's why nobody does it anymore. That's why Caleb Williams is going to Chicago. That's why Joe Burrow went to Cincinnati. It's why Trevor Lawrence went to Jacksonville. It's why these quarterbacks who do have a lot of leverage still go to the team that drafts them.
Well, Trevor Lawrence is from right there. He wanted to go to Jacksonville. I don't know about that. And Joe Burrow is from Ohio, too.
Jacksonville hasn't won Jack, and Cincinnati hasn't won Jack.
Jacksonville and Lawrence, obviously, was a fit. The geographically sort of where they were.
Well, say the Jets had the number one pick. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence was going to New York. He was.
I don't know. Jacksonville, I mean, clearly, I think he would have chosen Jacksonville among his top five teams. Trevor fits Jacksonville, let's just say that. But regardless, and obviously Burrow has a lot of Ohio connections as well.
Carson Palmer came out and told Joe Burrow, don't come here. And he still did. You know, I'm just talking about the guys who have leverage.
Yeah, and by the way,
since Eli Manning, who haven't used it.
Yeah, I just wonder if he saw this visit, and I think a lot of people are like, whoa, does this team know what they're doing? Yeah. Is this a sign? And obviously, they have a defensive head coach. A lot of people have mixed feelings about Cliff Kingsbury as an OC. I understand where Jaden Daniels might be like, I don't know if this is a fit for me. I think that would be kind of a smart move. And I'm not sure Caleb Williams has found Shangri-La in Chicago. It seems like he has bit the bullet and pretended he wants to be there. I'm not positive that's the best spot for him. If I'm Jaden Daniels, I would try to get to a different team. Like, honestly, I don't think this is a great fit.
Yeah, the one thing, though, is, like, you're telling me that you're going to do this whole maneuver to get to a team that also is not a winner.
Yeah, but I would really try. All these quarterbacks should want to go to Minnesota. That is, to me, the spot. New England's terrible right now. Washington's completely rebuilding. Chicago, who knows? They have such a history of failure. Feels like there was a couple hits out there that would be better. Denver with Sean Payton, Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, maybe Seattle with that new team. I think that would be.
So you're basically just saying anywhere but Washington.
Well, I would go anywhere but New England, but I think Washington is probably not ideal. I think that'd be kind of a tough spot.
Well, the roster's not bad though,
and is it?
I don't think the roster is bad offensively. I don't think the roster is bad.
I like the moves they made, but honestly, like this, it's hard to ignore everything that's happened with this team. Even with Josh, and also there's all these reports that Josh Harris is in every meeting and he's having the new owner is having a lot of say on personnel.
Yeah, what do you think Mark Davis is doing? I mean, Davis is meeting with the head coach after every single game.
I don't believe that Raiders report because he's got to know they're 13. There's no way they're getting Jaden Daniels. How are they going to get into the mix?
Well, that's it would have to be Daniels himself getting really dirty about this. I'm saying dirty, like he not like he has not getting dirty, but you got to muck up the process. Eli Manning had to muck it up. He had to sit there through these really uncomfortable interviews, and it got really bad. And I think Eli was always, you know, just sort of aw shucks Eli Manning. And again, had Archie and had Peyton to provide a little bit of a buffer, a little cover. It's like, well, obviously these people know what they're doing. And the first family of football, you know, Jaden Daniels is coming off an incredible season, as you said, Heisman Trophy winner. But this is a big, it's really putting yourself out there to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, and listen.
Especially if you don't know the destination.
Raiders is probably also better. I'd take Raiders over Commanders.
I wouldn't.
You got Devontae.
Is way easier to win.
You got Devontae.
Okay, but again, I'm not so sure that Devontae Adams isn't getting traded on draft day.
Yeah, well, not if, I mean, if they get Jaden Daniels, and why would they trade him? They could be good immediately. He's probably the first, him and Caleb are probably going to hit immediately, I would imagine, because they both are so mobile. I think that would be interesting. I don't think they can get from 13 to 3 or whatever. Now, if I'm any quarterback, I'm avoiding New England like the plague.
Well, according to Kevin O'Connell, I don't know if this was tongue-in-cheek or not, but said he was sending bouquets of flowers to Robert Kraft.
Right.
To try to get into that third pick.
Yeah. Because the Vikings want Drake May, right? That's what everyone thinks.
Or J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, it feels like May. Why would you trade a 3 for... Because who's the guy, Josh McCown? What's the connection the Vikings have coached May?
Oh, well, I don't know. I think it's that... I know the connection is Kevin O'Connell played for the Patriots for a long time. Not a long time.
So the Vikings quarterback coach is Josh McCown, who coached Drake May. So there's a lot of Drake May connections there. They're not going to 3 for J.J. McCarthy.
I don't know. I mean, I'm watching J.J. McCarthy and his odds just keep going up and up and up and up. And right now his odds are, well, I guess technically the odds are going down. You know, the odds are getting shorter.
It's always seemed like Washington likes J.J. McCarthy. That's sort of been out there for a month and a half.
Well, and now the Jaden Daniels, you know, kind of put it, you know, has made it known, at least through his agent, that he didn't like how this meeting went. I think that maybe everything is back on the table. So this is, to me, though, it comes down to Jaden Daniels. I just think this is a really bad look for him before the draft.
Oh, come on. I thought you were about player empowerment.
I am.
And I thought you hated Washington because of Dan's, not hated Washington, but agreed with me and everybody else that is a poorly run franchise for 20 years.
Okay, but he's out of the building, so I don't know what else I can say.
I don't know. If I get there, I was like, hey, here's my big interview, and there's three other dudes, like, I would say...
It's called adversity, Perla.
And adversity. They went to Top Golf.
Yeah, they did.
It's called... Yeah, I know. It's like... Okay, am I going to Washington to prove I can come through adversity, do 3 years of Washington, and get to a real team? I would worry about this team. I think that maybe his instinct is saying, this does not seem like a fit for me.
It's funny. I think it's worse from the player standpoint than the team standpoint, because this tells me that you, Jaden Daniels, thought you were walking into the sure thing. You thought you had this thing locked up. You didn't think you had to compete, didn't want to compete. And still don't want to compete.
Compete for what? This is a draft. Well, he's not going out on a field with anybody.
It's an interview.
Yeah, I mean, also the other thing, too, he's been linked to New England. Strangely, he's wanted to go there, too, people say.
Yeah, see, this is not the guy who has any idea about team and fit. Like, you're just mad because everyone else got invited to Topgolf.
No, I think he's been pro New England for about 6 weeks now. There's something going on. He does not like Washington. I just get that strong sense.
Okay, so that, and you say, am I for player empowerment? I am. If you don't want to go to Washington, then make it known that you don't want to go to Washington. And that's not going to happen with some passive-aggressive tweets from your agent. This is the thing that has to be a little bit more thought out and a little more calculated, because I'll give you another reason why. You've got to have another team on board who's willing to execute this with you. When Eli Manning didn't want to go to the San Diego Chargers, the Giants were there to make the deal. He knew exactly where he wanted to go.
Well, maybe that's why we saw the J.J. McCarthy odds swing, because they're doing something behind the scenes.
So the J.J. McCarthy odds to go 2 overall to the Commanders went from, 16-1 to 11-1?
20-1 to 11-1 overnight.
20-1 to 11-1 overnight.
I think that's pretty good. But then again, these odds are not scientific. I think they're just going off of Jaden Daniels not wanting to be there. I think that's the news hook, right?
Why wouldn't it just be Drake May? He's thought of as being the second or third.
Just remember, we were fooled badly by the odds of the number 2 pick last year, because everyone was down on CJ Stroud going number 2, and then all of a sudden he went number 2. So don't take the odds as gospel. They're just sort of using public information, which is not real information. There's something else going on behind the scenes.
855-212-4227. Let's also not forget, though, something that Bill Belichick said to Pat McAfee last week. Said, they were asking him, like, how much do you read the news reports and what's real, what's not real? And he said, generally, what, 2 days or so before the draft happens, that's when stuff starts to leak out. And he's like, then you kind of can understand where your competition is really going.
Yeah.
I don't think he was BSing. I think.
Right. I think he said 12 hours at one point. That makes sense. But you're telling me that the GMs don't have a good idea. I feel like they have accurate mock drafts and they're just not sharing them. Maybe I'm naive. Like, if you're, but here's Washington. They don't have to wait on anybody. They know Caleb is going number one. They have this pick here. I think Jaden's onto something. I think you're too high on this team. I think he's might be doing the best thing for him by saying, hey, maybe I should go somewhere else.
No, I'm just low on the move. I don't love the move. I don't love people who think that things should be handed to them. And I don't think Jaden is that kind of guy. So I thought this was very surprising.
But you have 0.0 idea that Jaden thinks any of that.
Okay, so but why do you think that his agent was upset with how the meetings went?
I think they're trying to get out of the Washington. I think they want out.
And they've been waiting just for the right time to strike?
Well, I mean, they've been sort of secretly striking. When he said that Malik Nabers saying that you're going to go to New England, are you excited? Like, they've been hinting that this is not a marriage made in heaven. Like, Caleb Williams, like, send me to Chicago. Have you heard Jaden Daniels say that once?
No, but again, he's not in the position that Caleb Williams is in, right? And I
sort of, though, because he's a presumptive number two. He could have said something nice about Washington. He's never said anything about them.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. Rich in Chicago, do you guys have him up? He's not on my call screener, so if we want Rich, we can put him up. Hey, Rich, how you doing, dude?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you got for us? Good morning.
Yeah, I want to throw this out at you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what's up?
I think one of the benchmarks that somebody has to look at is the general manager's role and draft it. Let me give an example. In the last 15 years for the Bears, they've only extended 2 out of their 15 first-round picks. So how effective is the drafting when they can't and don't want to extend the draft picks? And you got to look at – that's a good benchmark measurement for GM when you take a look at teams like the Browns, teams like the Patriots. These guys are not drafting where they retain guys long term.
No, it's definitely one way to judge a GM. Thank you so much for the call, Rich. Appreciate that. Teams that are bad, like the New York Jets, who for many years did not re-sign one of their first round picks. Yes, that is
like, I think, the best way to measure.
It's bad.
It's a good metric.
Yeah.
Ryan Poles, by the way, is definitely, that guy's got a lot to lose this season if they don't get better. Because I think the fact that they still have Eberflus is a big question mark for this Bears franchise.
And it's set up on a silver platter for him. I mean, you make the trade. You make the good trade with the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. The Panthers are god-awful, so that was an incredible bet. And then you end up with maybe one of the best quarterback prospects since Andrew Luck, or Trevor Lawrence, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't set up better for a general manager than what happened with Ryan Poles. Also, I think people like the Sweat trade. They didn't at first, but that ended up being really good. They end up re-signing Jalen Johnson. I mean, he's done some nice things. I never understand the head coach part, though. You can't keep a guy who's basically starting the season on the hot seat.
No, I think Poles is very much in question. I think a lot of people are not sure if that guy is doing a good job. If they don't win with Caleb Williams, like, they're going to have to, because they have Caleb Williams there, they're going to have to move on from GM and coach, like, immediately.
Yeah.
If they don't make the playoffs this year, I would say they're both in big trouble.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. So one storyline, I think, did we ever talk once coming into the NBA playoffs about Damian Lillard? I almost forget. It's like, oh, yeah, Damian Lillard left Portland to go to Milwaukee. I felt like he just burst on the scene this weekend and reminded everyone, oh my God, Damian Lillard's awesome. 35 points in the first half in Milwaukee. All of a sudden, this is a storyline. Because we're just talking about the NBA needs something. They need some juice. All the good players are injured, and it seems like Denver and Boston are just going to steamroll everybody. So I feel like this might be the best hope of the NBA to capture the national imagination, to have Dame time as something. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm not sure what we have.
Well, also, it was a little bit of the bad blood from the play-in tournament. I know you guys all hated the play-in tournament. Do you remember when Tyrese Halliburton did the Dame time?
No.
No? Okay. Nobody remembers this.
But wait, which game was that?
This was one of the on the way to the title, I guess. Like, didn't the Lakers play the...
The in-season tournament.
Yeah,
in-season tournament. I thought you said play-in. Okay.
Sorry, did I say play-in? I meant in-season tournament.
Oh, yeah, Halliburton did the Dame time.
Halliburton did the daytime, and when they beat the Bucks, and then I think that Dame was kind of waiting to get a little revenge. Guys,
there you go.
Setting up the story.
Add another layer there. There
Come
you go.
Come on, the memorable in-season tournament.
Sorry. Yeah. That's why I said you guys hated it. I didn't mean to say play-in. In-season tournament.
Oh, right. Okay, so yeah, that's good. I like that. I honestly had not thought once about Damian having a chance here because A, Giannis is hurt, B, Doc Rivers is the coach. God forbid this ever gets to a game 7. They're going down hard. But now all of a sudden we got a little juice, maybe Giannis will come back. Dame time, I'm thrilled about this particular development.
All right, well, let's hear a little from Damian Lillard. Can we hear cut 4, please, Pete, saying he'll do whatever it takes to win?
In my mind and in my heart, I was just like, man, I can't, come this far and not at least try to, put everything into it and put my best foot forward. So this is just one game, but I know it's going to be a hard journey, every night out. And, I'm just excited for this opportunity.
And definitely beats the last couple years where Dame was doing something else this time of year.
The last 2 years not being in the playoffs, it was, it sucked. I was early vacations. Last year, I went to Coachella. Like, I ain't never been able to go to Coachella. Like, it's just playing in the playoffs every year. So just having that long summer, it was like, man, I was over that. But being able to be in a playoff series on a championship team and a championship organization, knowing that we got an opportunity for it, I think that was the thing that I was looking forward to most.
Man, when you hear teams go like 1-2-3 Cancun, never like 1-2-3 Coachella.
Yeah. I was just looking at Dame has 4 albums of his own, by the way. I get him being into the music scene, but apparently he'd rather be on the basketball court. I think that's good for all of us.
Dame Dalla,
yeah. 4 albums. What? Which is your favorite? I like the second one.
I can take a guess as to why they weren't in the playoffs, because he was doing albums.
No, come on.
I mean, enough with this. What was me garbage?
He had no players in Portland.
Okay, then fine. Then figure it out. I mean, you got to be kidding me. All of a sudden, I wasn't in the playoffs.
Pete, come on. Damian Lillard is untouchable. Nobody dislikes. Okay. You're the only person in America who dislikes Damian Lillard.
Go get eliminated with Doc. Have a good time.
That I could get down with.
I mean, that still might happen. But he was really sensational in
game 1.
Bogut's just shaking his head.
This is a likable team, the Bucks.
I'm just not prepared for NBA insider people, Adi.
Yeah.
How about we have
another tournament again?
That's a storyline I did not see coming.
We should keep a running list in the studio of NBA players people Adi does not like. We know LeBron.
Dame. List.
I think it'd be easier to go the other way. Who do you like?
Yeah,
who the Knicks.
Oh, got it.
Everybody on the Knicks.
Got it.
Oh,
The Knicks fans who are burning Joel Embiid's jersey after game 1. Act like you've been there before, Knicks fans.
Yeah.
Imagine if they win a series.
Then they burn down the Empire State.
Actual Joel Embiid, better look out.
Yeah. I mean, also, the burning of the jersey is the biggest loser move you can possibly do.
Honestly, it's a throwing move. A parade on 7th Avenue after a game 1 win over a hobbled Sixers.
You guys stink, so you know what? It's going to be an easy
victory
anyway.
You beat up Nick Batum and the guys. Big deal.
Embiid was there, too.
Perloff is exempt from talking about this. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out with the Sixers. It's exhausting. You can't keep track of your mental state every minute, every quarter. You're out.
Well, this is where this all came from. You don't understand where I started the segment. Now I'm rooting desperately for the Bucks to knock off them. If the Knicks advance and I have to be here and listen to people like Pete Pilotti bragging about basketball once again for the first time since 1994, this is going to absolutely destroy me. I cannot watch the Knicks win. I don't know how you do it when my Eagles win. That must be awful.
It's
awful. There for the Super Bowl It's
awful to see your coworkers succeed in sports. It's the worst feeling when you're not winning.
No, I just want you to be either all in or all out.
I'm all out.
You're like, you're half on the boat here, and that's what bothers me.
I'm consistently rooting for the Knicks to lose.
No, your team. I'm like, are you in or out on your team? See? The fact you can't even answer that is an indictment on you.
They're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. Even when Embiid is relatively healthy, I'm realistic. That's not... Are you allowed to say when your team is clearly not good, you're allowed to say, should I be hopeful and blindly optimistic?
Then I don't want to see tweets about bad calls and about getting hosed and this and that. Because
or
if
they can't hit 23s again. Yes, that's not repeatable.
If it doesn't matter you've already conceded the series, then I don't want the kvetching and all of the you-know-what on social media. You can't be one person there and another person here. You're the same person.
Well, he knows they're losers, so he's getting off the bandwagon. I can understand that.
No, but he's not. But then he's on the bandwagon the game.
I'm allowed to rip the Knicks fans for over-celebrating a Game 1 win.
Well, I'll meet you, because that's a little crazy.
The best player on the Knicks didn't do anything in Game 1. I mean, I think Knicks fans are within their right to celebrate that victory.
Yeah, but
that's why you're celebrating, because Jalen Brunson was 6-for-28. Let's have a parade.
I know, but here's the thing. You're the second seed, so you can't really... Like, I get it when the Knicks were, like, the scrappy underdogs. Now you're not really. You're the second seed.
You're
the
number two seed.
Look, as a fellow millennial and watching other millennials and Gen Zers be the one that are screaming Knicks in 4 and F. Trae Young, which, by the way, is, like, 3 years old at this point. It's like when you're babysitting, like, you know, a 9-year-old nephew, and you, like, you just watch him. You watch the chaos unfold, and you're like... This isn't right, but I'm just going to let it unfold. I'm just going to let it happen. You let it happen. Right.
I'm blaming it on the weed and the alcohol. And, you know, New York has gotten very relaxed with their drug laws around here. And so I think everyone's just totally blitzed.
It's not
that's
really
just you, Maggie, as you're watching cartoons in the afternoon.
Sorry. Also, I'm also a millennial. Should I mention that? I'm an older millennial.
So... Yeah, but a lot of fan bases do win Game 1 and act like they've been there before. And the Knicks have won a Game 1 before. They've won series before. They won the first round last year.
Yeah.
Why are they overreacting to this?
I don't know.
What is going on with Knicks fans? I don't understand.
They're excited.
It.
I mean, EJ doesn't even come to work anymore.
He's gone.
He's just following the Knicks around in a van like the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, I do not understand this fan base at all. You're right, Maggie. There's a 2-seed. They have a really good chance to go to the finals. What do you care if you beat game one?
And Pete's suggestion is a nuanced thought that they're extra excited because they won without prime Jalen Brunson. That's why they were burning things outside the reason.
You're a Net fan. You should have no right to say anything.
No, but you know what I am? I'm an actual basketball
loser.
Fan. This has come out of nowhere. You parachuting into NBA conversations, poo-pooing Damian Lillard.
I said from the beginning that I'm a Knicks fan. The NBA, whatever they've done with the tournaments and whatnot, is the worst thing for basketball.
Did you watch on Saturday?
I did. I sat on the couch and watched the whole thing.
Okay.
Wait, can we pause for a second on the imagery that Andrew Bogut was just relaying, which is the idea of EJ in like a tie-dye shirt, just like out of a Volkswagen bus, you know.
It's my Dave Matthews band fan. Right. I lent it to him for the tournament.
Opens up the sliding door with just like smoke coming out. EJ's the most straight-laced person we have here, but that's funny.
By the way, Pete, I know one player you do like. You're definitely a Kyrie Irving fan, I assume.
Yeah, get lost.
Kyrie Irving. Is there anything more predictable on Earth?
What if LeBron came to your beloved Knicks? What would you do then?
No.
Oh, okay.
Relinquish.
No, he shouldn't be here.
James Harden, you a fan of him?
No, none of these guys. All these guys with their rest time.
Yeah, if you don't like Dame, you sure ain't going to like James Harden.
Oh, I need a rest day after playing 48 minutes.
I'd be careful here, Mr. 4-day work week. I'd be careful with this line of questioning.
Look at the checks. Look at the paychecks. I can take my days off.
Left the studio. He just owed like a... Like a dunk.
Right. When you walk out at 10:45 in the morning, what exactly are you doing at that point?
Look at your check and my check, all right?
Bogus does have to stay here longer than all
forever.
Of us.
Forever.
Why are you here so long?
I don't know. We've got a new boss. I'll try to trick him into letting me leave early. It hasn't worked in the previous two.
I was here late the other day, and people were like, "What are you still doing here?" And then Bokish walks by. He's like, "Nope, par for the course."
Still had 45 minutes to go, and Maggie left.
I like when I'm walking home, and Bokish is wearing his jacket and sadly walking to lunch. The lunch options are terrible around here. I'm like, "Oh, are you headed home?" "No, going to the lunch.
Going to find my second meal of my work day.
Getting a $17 salad.
Just wanted to see daylight for a second.
And experience a little bit of joy. What are we doing here? Headlines?
Sure, why not?
I might get pizza.
Oh, you're going home? That must be great.
Yeah.
Speaking of paychecks, not sure what it pays to be Maggie or Perloff, but if it's a lot, I've got an investment idea for you, Maggie. As you well know, the Pegula family confirmed on Friday they're open to selling a portion of the Bills. We don't know the exact percentage available, but most people are guessing 25%. They're also guessing the Pegulas are looking for some outside cash to help cover any cost overruns for their new stadium, with some projections saying the team might be on the hook for about $600 million. The question we don't know, though, normally, well, sometimes when these deals happen, the new ownership has a path to becoming the ownership. And we don't know yet if that's going to be part of this deal, which I guess makes it hard to know what the Pegulas can get for 25% if it's just a portion and that's it.
Right. I think this is a couple things. They're also looking into selling some of the other teams, apparently. Some of their minor league teams and stuff like that. Pegulas basically own sports in Western New York. They own the Sabres, too. They own everything. Now, Kim Pegula has also been sick for a while,
right,
and she was really out front in front of the scenes, and she really hasn't been. So I think the Pegulas have been good owners. For the most part, I think they have been good owners. If this is really to try to save them from having to gouge the state of New York for more money and the citizens, I'm fully on board with that. Here's my fear of who this person is going to be. Is it possible it's Trump?
What? He could get into the... Did he try to buy them? Or who?
Yeah, he did. He tried to buy the Bills.
And you're telling me he's going to get 20% of the Bills right now? No. The NFL wouldn't do that in a million years.
But if he loses... I don't know if he's going to lose the election. He might win the election. Who knows? I don't want to get political. But if he does lose, he's going to be looking for something, right? I mean, I know he's got a lot of legal bills and
stuff
like that.
Right, but didn't he just not have money for whatever that court payment was? I mean, how's he going to front a chunk of NFL money?
This guy's been in our lives for 40 years, and who knows how he ever has any of this money, and yet he always seems to come up with something. It's so crazy to me.
Honestly, like, if he's going to pick a team, it's not going to be Buffalo, right? Like, he's going to want to go somewhere where people like him.
No, but, well, people in Buffalo well, they might like do
but like right,
him,
like, but I think, like, he hates New York State right now. I know he lives here, but he's screwed them over so badly.
I just think if you want to get in, though, these opportunities don't come up very often, so sometimes you can't choose. Like, David Tepper was the minority owner of the Steelers. They're never going to be for sale, so he went and bought the Carolina Panthers when they became for sale. I don't think he wanted to buy the Panthers. He just wanted to buy anything.
I think you could get in a minority ownership. I think you could buy chunks of teams.
On the path to full ownership, I don't know.
Oh, right. But okay, that gets back to, is this on the... It doesn't strike me. I'd be shocked if the Pegulas really let go of this thing. Why would they not sell more? Why not sell it now?
I don't know. But the other part is, I know that, you know, the whole, like, kneeling SOBs, that whole thing when Trump was president the first time didn't go over well with the NFL. But again, these are... A lot of these owners are, like, his friends, aren't they? I mean, this is the waters that he swims in. So that was the first place my brain went.
I'd give it somewhere between 0.0 and 0.0 chance Donald Trump buys into the Bills. That's just not happening.
I would have given it 0% chance he'd ever be president of the United States, and here we are verge of
this seems
term
less
two.
Likely than
when
that,
he was
though.
Non-controversial, he couldn't build it. This seems way less likely. Like, yeah, he'll win the presidency, but he's definitely not getting 20% of the Bills.
We have standards.
This is important stuff. I can. Like, anybody could be president. There's no requirement for that. This is the NFL.
So who else do you think it's to be someone we know?
No.
That's 20% feels like some capital, like some hedge fund guy, right?
It could be, but again, you had minority owners in Washington, D.C. who at one point tried to stage a coup to try to get Daniel Snyder out, and they were the ones who were really influential in getting FedEx to essentially start pulling money. So minority owners can do something. I don't know if it would be that way. There's nothing hostile, I don't think, going on in Buffalo, but you got to keep an eye on the minority owners.
Aren't there hundreds of minority owners we don't even know?
Yeah, 25% is a pretty big stake. Minority owners are usually like 2%, 3%.
Really? I did not know. I figured there were a lot of investors and all that. Like, for example, the Hornets have 50 different owners. And like an NBA, I know is a fact. There is a village for every team.
No, you walk around New York, everyone owns a little bit of the Bucks.
Yeah. I did see, by the way, a story that hedge funds are trying to buy into the NFL. That's a new thing. So I think some anonymous investment group will buy it.
I got another one for you.
Yeah, I think it'll be one of those hedge funds.
What about the Saudis?
Yeah, I don't think the NFL will go for that. Why do they need? They could just go. This is a very popular league. They could just get an American hedge fund.
I don't know.
What's the one called? The big one.
Axe Capital. Like, that's all I got.
What's Axe Capital in real life? Is it Blackstone?
Wait, Axe Capital. Aren't they in the show? Aren't they always getting in trouble or no?
Oh yeah, very much.
Yeah, but
so
are the real ones.
Yeah.
Right. You're gonna wish that upon my team. Although I don't, the Saudis aren't much.
So it's Blackstone, right? They're definitely no. First of all,
wait.
There's gonna be evil money.
What if the black-haired lady from
the tarot card is
this person coming in now to mess things up? Did she have a timetable on that effect?
Well, when the tarot card reader Angela came in, I asked the tarot cards, will the Bills win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years? And she said, no, because of a brown-haired lady, a black-haired lady.
You really need a tarot card reader for that insight.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
The team that hasn't won in 55 years. Maybe you needed a bigger window, Maggie, for that question.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
If there is a new owner, I will just ask that they hire people to shovel out snow in January and December for a playoff game so that the suckers that live in Buffalo don't volunteer to do it for a bottle of Coke and $2.
They pay them.
And some Papa John's.
They love it, too. They're thrilled to do that, it seems like.
It's good. It's good for the back.
Yeah, thrilled to do it, to watch your team lose every year.
Wow. They beat the Steelers in that particular game, but yes, then they did go on to lose to the Chiefs, as they generally do in the postseason.
Yes, very tough to beat Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, well.
I'm looking at some of the potential. You got Bridgewater Associates, Citadel, and AQR Capital. The level of evil that they can insert into this position, like, they'll make you forget about
the team. Well, not with the new stadium.
No, 20%. That's the thing. Like, I think there are a lot of minority owners out there. And Hochul is basically our governor would run in front of a bus for the Buffalo Bills. It's all she seems to care about.
Yeah, well, she's from Buffalo, and that's what we care about up there.
How she got elected, I have no idea.
I ask that question every day.
I don't think people understand that, like, the Bills is her number one priority, and the millionth is the New York City school system.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. No,
People like Maggie.
I'm a Bills fan.
How she got these votes?
I'm a Bills fan who lives in New Jersey. I'm totally okay with this.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we're not getting political. We're getting so political here, but yeah. Well, I guess when it comes to NFL team ownership, Donald Trump is not buying the Bills, Maggie. That would be the most shocking headline. I will eat so much crow, but I just can't see that. It sounds so radical to me.
Donald Trump
buys 20% of the Bills. By the way, I just drove by his golf course the other day off the Whitestone.
Yeah.
No longer the Trump links.
Really?
Because New York hates Donald Trump.
Because he screwed them.
Yeah, because he screwed them on the tax deal. He said you can't take your state taxes out of the federal. So anyway, he's not well liked in the sports community here.
All right. Well, I'm just going to let you know that in Buffalo and in Western New York and upstate New York, we care very little about New York City.
Right. And that's why
I'm back at you.
Might as well be a different country.
That's why, honestly, they got to get her out of office fast. I'm so sorry. There's no politician I probably dislike more than Kathy Hochul.
We pinky swore we'd never do politics on this show. Now you're anti-Kathy.
But it's sports. The fact that my tax dollars go to a Buffalo stadium that's not even indoors to help your team win, this is insane. It's the most insane expenditure I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, man, we got a lot more suggestions in the chat. Elon Musk, I don't think he's getting into football.
Well, it's always shocked that Bezos didn't buy the Commanders. That was weird.
I think he was holding out for the Seahawks.
I mean,
people thought it was D.C., but he's a Seattle guy. That's where Amazon's headquarters still are.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of connections to D.C. I can't remember what it is.
Well, he owns the Washington Post.
Yeah, and also too, I think he wanted them, but he could buy a team, and he wouldn't even barely have to open his wallet. He's worth how much? $350 billion or something?
I'm telling you, I think he's going to buy Seattle, but that's a dicey situation because of Paul Allen and the estate and who owns it. So Did I leave you any more time?
No. I'll tell you very quickly. Back half of the NBA quadruple header yesterday. The Bucks beat the Pacers 109-94 behind those 35 from that Cretan Damian Lillard. And we also had the Pelicans losing in OKC 94-92. Now back to you guys.
Let's just not forget everything that happened during this last segment. It was pretty glorious. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. One of the big takeaways, I think, from the first games of the NBA playoffs, Perloff, is Anthony Edwards. Wow. Impressive what Minnesota is able to do, taking out Phoenix in that first game. And when Durant specifically, Kevin Durant, got switched on to Anthony Edwards and took him defensively as an assignment in the third quarter of that game, Anthony Edwards went 8 for 11, 2 for 3 from 3, and scored 18 points. He cooked Kevin Durant in that third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the Suns played terrible. That being said, I don't think this series is totally over because I don't totally trust the T-Wolves yet. Even though they looked really good this game, I'd be curious how the Suns respond. Obviously, my guy D-Book did not hit his shots. Kevin Durant did, but he turned the ball over like a million times. I hope that the Suns make a better stand than this. If they repeat this, this would just be kind of an embarrassing ending to an embarrassing season.
Yeah, let's hear first from Anthony Edwards on his back and forth with KD in the third quarter.
I think everybody here knows that's my favorite player of all time, so that was probably one of the best feelings ever in my whole life, for sure.
Best feelings my whole life is cooking one of my idols. Anthony Edwards says this game was personal.
These guys came in here and whooped us in our home court the last game of the season and was giggling, laughing, you know, I mean, like Bill said, he told our coach that he don't think we play hard enough, and he was right. You know what I mean? Like, Finchy didn't like that. He came in the next day and was like, man, you got guys on the other team telling me that y'all don't play hard enough for me, and he was totally right.
Wow. I mean, so I guess congratulations to the Suns. You gave all this bulletin board material and fuel to Minnesota, and this is like an Anthony Edwards moment. I don't know if he'll be able to keep this up, Perloff, but you starred in a movie with him. He's obviously
great.
He's like got all the things that would make him a superstar in this league. He is a superstar, and if he has a massive playoffs, this is going to be Anthony Edwards' world that we're all going to be living in.
Totally, but don't you feel like, don't you still have questions about this team? Like, can you really get behind Cat and Rudy Gobert?
No.
I mean, yeah, that's my problem. I have trouble sort of embracing it. I love Anthony Edwards, love his style of play, love that he's a high flyer, love that dunk at the end of the game. Everything about him is amazing. I just don't trust this team. I can't help it.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't trust the Suns either.
I mean, they're obviously, for obvious reasons. The T-Wolves have given you more reason to trust them, but I'm just saying, like, to me, the T-Wolves are more likely to disappoint than the Suns because the Suns aren't disappointing anyone because no one thinks they're going to do anything.
Okay, and that's crazy. So let's pause on that for a second because the Suns, who essentially moved heaven and earth to get the hand-picked selected superstars that they wanted to, right? Made it happen with Bradley Beal. Made it happen with Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant took two different trade requests in the same exact season to finally get himself to Phoenix. Four first-round draft picks and three players all get traded because of Kevin Durant. And it's like, they're nothing. They don't have any juice. There's no fun stories. They're not even expected to be a contender. What happened here? This is such an indictment on the end of Kevin Durant's career and his legacy. I mean, it's been years now since we've like really gotten anything from Durant. We're talking about after his Achilles. So we're talking about the 2020-2021 season, 2022-2023, and now 2023-2024. This is the If Durant's really an all-time player, you can't have four seasons that mean nothing at the end of your
career. His numbers have still been good. I don't think anyone, after the Achilles, nobody expected him to lead a single team.
One thought he was. With Kyrie, that was hailed as that was going to be something special.
But it became evident pretty quickly there that that was not going to work.
No, but he had torn his Achilles before he got there.
Yeah, no, I'm saying after the Achilles, I think the bar moved after the Achilles there. I don't think he was I have to win a title to keep my legacy up guy. Because really, people thought KD was single-handedly. I mean, they were by the time he actually got to the playoffs in Brooklyn, they were a huge underdog, and he almost single-handedly led them against the Bucks. That was probably the most impressive thing he's done his entire career.
And that was a second-round matchup.
Yeah.
I, they had Kyrie, Durant, and James Harden.
Right, but everyone knew they were never on the court at the same time.
They weren't, but see, the thing is about the Achilles is Durant tore the Achilles in the finals when he was still part of Golden State.
Right, in 19.
And when he chose to go to Brooklyn to team up with Kyrie, the expectation there was title. And
right,
the Achilles was already torn.
But then Kyrie ran into all sorts of problems, and Harden eventually ran into all sorts of problems. So I think, remember that Milwaukee series? That was a heroic underdog. He was like David versus Goliath in that series.
I remember.
So I feel like he's not the Goliath anymore. He's the David. He's sort of an underdog.
Oh, but that's disrespectful to him to call him the David. He's one of the top 15 players ever, maybe?
Well, right, but after the Achilles, I just don't think it was really, I don't think the bar was there. Like, nobody thought, like, oh, if he doesn't win in Phoenix, it's a huge disappointment. If you thought that, you were out of your mind.
I think that KD has to own these failures because he chose to team up with Kyrie, and they chose to put pressure on the organization to get James Harden. Kyrie was not the innocent, or Durant's not an innocent bystander while the Nets front office moves heaven and earth to get James Harden. Who do we think wanted James Harden? Clearly it was Durant.
Yeah, but he still played really well in that Bucks series. That was a great moment for him.
He was there longer than just the Bucks series. He was there for multiple years and never did anything.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.